नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the, we started discussing on the penultimate verse, Manasiksha, 11th verse last week. So we are almost ready to complete Manasiksha after 2 years now. So almost more than 2 years probably. So I was thinking and okay, maybe my few lines I will tell you a little bit later. But for now, I'll request Radha Pramod Prabhu to do a recap of what we saw last week, and I will take it forward from there. Over to you, Prabhu.
They are discussing 11th verse, Bhajan Darpan commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Manasiksha. So this is because Balram font, so there is some problems. Here, in this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us to drink the five nectars. And what are the five nectars? Ijamruta, worshipping the deity form of the Lord, Akhyamruta, glories, that is studying the devotional literatures, Dhyanamrita, meditating on the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord, Shravanamrita, listening to the divine pastimes, and Nathi, offering obeisances. He is telling that we need to have like Sankhya, Purvakana, Bhagana. We should have a regulation that every day we do spend some time to drink these five types of nectars. And then he says we should worship Govardhan according to the rules and follow the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami. That means we should remain chaste to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, and also it means that these are the instructions to drinking this nectar is also the instructions given to us by Srila Rupa Goswami. And then what will happen by drinking this nectar regularly, that in a proper regulated prescribed time we give to them, we will be able to obtain the direct service of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari in the company of their associates in Vraja. And who are Radha Giridhari? They are the most intimately connected to each other. And that is further explained. We will hear from Prabhuji again more detail about the shloka again. And then he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur commenting on it, he says, what is the most confidential, deeply esoteric and exalted science of devotional service to a sadhaka? A sadhaka can perform. Then for that, Raghunath Das Goswami is answering, Tat Guna Ujo. With confidential and eternal associates, Lord Sri Krishna is always with their associates. And they're always surrounded with them, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. That means when we get service to them also, along with Radha and Krishna. And another is Smara Vilasa Parayana. Absorbed in attractive amorous pastimes, become deeply absorbed in and attracted to Radha Krishna's amorous Shringar Rasa. And this happens after one really should other rasas, and this can happen only after the stage of nishtha, and that also under the guidance of a spiritual master. And then we have, and then the further is to vajasakshat seva labha. So achieving direct service in Vrajadham, whatever service is rendered in the stage of sadhana bhakti is a stimulation of direct service. So first there is a progression. First the attain service to the Lord from a distance, under Manjaris, then under Sakhis, and then directly to Radha and Krishna. And the services are endless in the spiritual world, and unlimited maid servants are engaged in their specific respective service, like plucking the flowers, making garlands, and making chandan like that. And the direct service of Radha Krishna is possible only when the living entity achieves an eternal, perfected, original spiritual form. And then in the direct service, so this is the highest pleasure a living entity can experience, the highest form. And in the direct service of amorous love, the experience, one experiences the highest, purest bliss. The bliss never diminishes, nor does it ever get quenched, because it is always new and new, fresh. And one has no selfish desire, only motivated by direct service. And not an iota of suffering can touch one's heart, because there is no material tinge in it. There is nothing material, body and material, everything spiritual. And the misery that arises out of separation is just a transmutation of this ultimate bliss. So it is not like a material separation pain one feels. It is something spiritual, that is what I explained. And next is Sri Rupena Samam. Aligned with the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, being alienated with the teachings of Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Neelamani, where he is explaining about this Madhuri Rasa and also the 64 items of devotional service. Then we had this five important, most potent forms of devotional service that Shloka is mentioned, where these are so potent that if one comes in contact with these five items, even if person does not have faith, but if he is able to practice without offenses, immediately they are so powerful that they can be elevated to the stage of bhava also. And then there are the five amritas which Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us to drink. This is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ija, worship of the Lord's form, Lord's Murti deity. Also, it also includes honoring the special days like Ekadasi, wearing garlands or necklaces, and taking the vow, accepting the remnants of the food offered to the Lord, and Charanamrita, and serving Tulasi. And then we have Dhyana, meditation. And this is a special category of Smarana. And Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha in Anuchet 278 explains that meditation should be done in a progression of Nama, Rupa, Guna, then Parikara, his associates, and one service to the Lord, Seva and Leela. And then we have the Smarana can be categorized to five stages. Smarana is to meditate on whatever spiritual topics come easily to the mind, and Dharana is to thoroughly fix the mind on the Lord. Dhyana is to make a focus effort to meditate on a specific form, pastimes, etc. And Dhruvana Smriti is meditating on the Lord that occurs spontaneously as a constant flow of nectar. And last is Samadhi, when only the Lord exists in one's consciousness. And two more Amritas is Shravana, hearing, and listening to saintly people glorifying the playful pastimes of the Lord. And the cultural system of hearing Puranas. Then we have offering obeisances. We should offer obeisances prostrated Ashtanga Pranam to the Lord's deity, and also any object or place that awakens one's remembrance to the Lord. So this is like it's a revision by, I mean, some of the points are again a recap by Raghunath Das Goswami to make us remember some of the most essential things which I discussed previously. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so let us continue. So here this verse actually Shri Raghunath Das Goswami is emphasizing certain foundational points as we saw before. I mean, last session, if you remember, we had aim. We again did a recap from first verse till 10th verse. You know what we had seen. Of course, I'm not going to do that now. And then we started the 10th verse, which, as Radha Pramod Prabhu mentioned, is a summary of what he has taught. So in the last 10 verses. Okay. So we will see how this is a summary. First, we will chant the verse together, see the meaning once, and then we will continue further. Samam Shri Rupena Smara Vivasha Radha Giribrito Vraje Sakshat Seva Labhana Vidayeta Gana Yujo Tajja Kya Dhyana Shravana Nati Panchamritamidam Dhayan Nitya Govardhana Manudinam Pam Bhajamana. So he says, O Mana, Tvam Anudinam Dhayan. So this is essence what Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has told. He said, Dhyan Panchamritam Anudinam. Please make a point to every day drink these five nectars. What are those five nectars? Ijyata, Akhyamrita, Dhyanamrita, Shravanamrita, and Nati Amrita. The nectar of Ijya. Ijya means worship of the deforms. And Akhya. Akhya means hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. And Dhyanamritam. Dhyana means to meditate on the Nama Rupa Guna Leela. And Shravanamritam, listening to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nati. Nati means to offer obeisances. So this has to be a part of our practice. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibish Kala Vasani Kritav. Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijitav. Chatyanta Dina Yav. So, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. So, the six Goswamis, even though they were perfected devotees, they were not sadhakas. But they used to count their number of mantras that they were chanting. And even used to count the number of obeisances that they used to offer. Like we know about Raghunath Das Goswami. Right? Every day about like 2000 obeisances or something he used to offer. So he says that in essence is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is instructing his mind that every day make it a point to drink these five nectars. And not only that, bhaja govardhanam nitya. Maybe nitya, I think, right? Bhaja govardhanam nitya. Nitya. It should be nitya. Okay, anyways. Bhaja govardhanam nitya. Worship govardhan according to the rules, which he was doing actually. It was a, he was personally received the govardhan shila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he worshipped. And he says, Samam Shri Rupena. And these are the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami. And if you follow the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sakshat Seva Labhana Vidaye, obtain the direct service of Radha Giri Brutoho. Obtain the direct service of Shishi Radha Giridhari, who are smara vivasha, who are helplessly attracted to each other conjugal love. Tad gana yujoho, and you will also develop, you will also get service to their associates who are also in Madhurya Rasa. Vraje in Vrindavan. So basically he says Panchamrita Seva, that is one thing that is one thing that he is mentioning here. పంచామృత సేవ, గోవర్ధన్ సేవ, అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ రూప గోస్వామి. దిస్ ఈస్ శిల రూప గోస్వామిస్ ఉపదేశామృత. బేసికలీ వాట్ ఈస్ టెలింగ్ ఇస్ ఫాలో శిల రూప గోస్వామిస్ ఉపదేశామృత. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ డూ దట్, సో దిస్ ఇస్ వేర్ హీఈస్ ఇండికేటింగ్ chastity to the impara, which he had mentioned in the third verse, if you remember. Yadichher avasam brajabhuvi saragam pratijanor yuvadvandvam tachet paritum arahad vilashe swarupam shrirupam saganamiha tasyagrajamapi sputam na nityam smaranama tadatvam shrunumana. So if you remember in the third verse of Manasiksha, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami emphasized principle of chastity to our parampara, which he is re-emphasizing here by mentioning samam shri rupena. You should follow the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, okay, and not search elsewhere here and there. So then what we will get, సాక్షాత్ సేవా లభన విదయే, యు విల్ అబ్టైన్ ద డైరెక్ట్ సర్వీస్ టు రాధాగిరి బృతోహో ఆఫ్ శిషి రాధాగిరిధారి. స్మర వివశ హు ఆర్ క్యాప్టివేటెడ్ బై అమోరస్ అట్రాక్షన్ టు ఈచ్ అదర్ అండ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ వి గెట్ డైరెక్ట్ సర్వీస్ టు శిషి రాధాగిరిధారి, వి విల్ ఆల్సో గెట్ సర్వీస్ టు దేర్ అసోసియేట్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్టికులర్ మోడ్ ఇన్ వృందావన్ బ్రజే. So which means basically this whole thing guiding us towards actually Madhurya Rasa only. So Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Das. So and then in our Bhajan Darpan commentary, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, mentions the shlokartha. He mentions about gana yujoho. What is the meaning of that gana yujoho? He says that he is always surrounded by his friends such as Sridhama and Subal, and Srimati Radharani is surrounded by her friends such as Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi. So we will get service to them also. And then smara vilasa parayana, it means become deeply absorbed in and attached to Radha Samora Shinga Rasa after finding it more attractive than the other rasas. Okay, which means basically by addressing Radha and Krishna as Smara Vivasha. Smara Vivasha. Those are captivated by conjugal love. Basically, indirectly Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is instructing that you should aspire for Madhurya Rasa, that he is indicating. So, and he says that finding it more attractive than the other rasas, Dasya Satya Vatsalya Rasa. Okay. And then, Vraje Sakshat Seva Labha, achieving direct service Vrajadam. He says, whatever service is rendered at the stage of sadhana bhakti is actually a simulation of direct service which is performed. So, because that's what we do, right? Sadhana bhakti is that. Kriti sadhya bhet sadhya bhavasa sadhana vidha nitya siddhasya bhasya prakatyam hridityata. He says that sadhana means engaging our mind and senses in the activities of mind and senses in the activities of Krishna consciousness with the aim of attaining the stage of bhava. So therefore certainly sadhana bhakti as designed by our acharyas must be a simulation of direct service. Okay, so in the stage of perfection. And then when one attains perfection, he says this perfection attains in stages. First, one serves under a manjari and one attains is to the Lord from a distance. Then one becomes little bit more closer and attains service to the keys, and the sakis bring us into direct service of Shishada Govinda. In this way, it happens in stages. And then he says that there are unlimited number of service which the sakis do, like stringing garlands, offering camp, tambula, fetching water and so on. Okay. And there are unlimited services, unlimited maid servants. And this kind of perfected service to Radha and Krishna is possible only when one attains one's Siddha Deha completely at the stage of Prema. That's how, that's when it happens. So at that stage one experiences the highest bliss, Sandrananda Visheshatma. A condensed form of bliss is experienced by a person at that particular stage. And it never diminishes, nor does it ever get quenched. Like that. And then at that stage, there is not even a tinge of selfish, there is not even a tinge of suffering. And whatever so-called suffering that is seemingly present at stage is the highest form of bliss in the form of Vipralamba Bhav. Like that. And then we discussed on the theme of Shri Rupena Samam. We should be aligned with the teachings of Shri Rupa Goswami. He says, Shri Rupa Goswami has taught, he is the master of Amoras Rasa. He says. So he has taught in his Bhakti Rasamrita Shila Ujjwala Neelamani. In this regard, in Bhakti Rasamrita it is mentioned about the five most potent limbs. Right? Shraddha Vishata Priti Shri Murter Angri Sevane Shrimad Bhagavata Arthanam Aswado Rasikaihi Saha Sajatiya Ashe Snigde Sangaswatovare Nama Sankirtanam Shrimad Madhura Mandale Stitihi Anja Anganam Panchakasyasya Pudilikitasya Cha Nikila Sraishtya Bodhaya Punarapi Atra Kirtanam. So he talks about the five most potent limbs. So this is the essential teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. And following in that footsteps, he says, he talks this Panchamritam. First is Ijyamritam, worship of the Lord. So Ijya includes Shri Murter Angri Sevane Preeti. So not just worshipping the deities, but having deep attachment to the deities with loving sentiments. And this also includes honoring special days such as Ekadashi, wearing garlands and necklaces, Tilak, and accepting the food remnants. All of that falls within the category of yam. And serving Tulsi Maharani like that. Then comes Akhya. Akhya means glorification. So, what does Akhya include? We saw Akhya includes study the devotional literatures, and hearing and chanting the names and pastimes of Lord Hari falls within the category of Akhya. Then Dhyana refers to a special category of Smaranam. When Smaranam becomes little bit more intense, it becomes Smaranam. It becomes Dhyana. This has five stages. Smarana, Dharana, Dhyana, Dhruvana Smriti and Samadhi, which indicates gradually higher and higher levels of meditation with more intensity. And of course, this kind of meditation is possible only when the heart is fairly purified of the anarthas. Because if the heart is filled with anarthas, then meditation on the Supreme and his pastimes and name form glorification is not very easy. One will be able to meditate on one's anarthas only. Or one's meditation will inspired one by one's anarthas only. Like that. Then there is Shravanam. Shravanam includes listening. Saintly people glorify the playful pastimes of the Lord. Okay. This refers to hearing Puranas. So the question, what is the difference between hearing the glories of Akhya and Shravanam. Akhya is studying devotional literatures and also hearing and chanting the names of pastimes of Lord Hari. So this includes both studying, hearing and chanting, and Shravanam includes indicate pure hearing, actually just hearing from saintly people. And Nati, which is the fifth Amrita, includes offering obeisances, Shashtanga Pranam, to the Murti of the Lord, or it also includes to the Vaishnava also, and to holy places and any holy object connected to Krishna, to all of that. So this is where we ended our discussion yesterday. So now we will continue our discussion today. But before we continue discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we will take anything anyone would like to share as add. So essentially, in essence, this is like he is talking about in this particular verse. One thing is about chastity. He is indicating follow the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami and not search elsewhere. And the second thing that he is talking about is emphasis on the five most potent limbs, which he is indicating as Panchamrita. Dhayan Panchamritam. So like that. And then the third thing he says is worship of Govardhan. Worship of Govardhan is the third thing that he says. So if we do these things by remaining faithful to the teachings of the acharyas, our acharyas, starting with Srila Rupa Goswami, and then if we drink the Panchamrit every day, and if we worship Govardhan every day or regularly, then what we will get in done is we will get an opportunity to serve Radha Giridhari, who are completely absorbed in conjugal love with each other. We will get direct service to them in Vrindavan along with their associates. So this is what will happen, which means we will actually be able to realize our constitutional position of Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Sadasanudas. We will actually become Gopi Bhartu is Krishna, Padakamalayo Dasa is Radharani, Dasa is are the Sakis, and Anudas are the Manjaris. So we'll actually become followers of the Manjaris like that. So this is what we had discussed. So this in one sense is like a summary verse of what we have seen now in the first 10 verses. Okay. There is a question in the chat box. There are many sampradayas who follow Srila Rupa Goswami, at least in Vrindavan. Maybe, quite possible. Our line is one of the lines. Similarly, there could be other lines. As long as they are practicing the bona fide teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami and they are coming in a proper disciplic line, it is glorious. That is perfect. So that's they can achieve perfection for sure. Okay. Any other questions before we move ahead? Okay, let me know then. So next he talks about worshipping Govardhan. Okay, Shri Govardhana Bhajan. Worship of Shri Govardhan. So here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami offers this particular instruction for himself as well as for everyone else. Because he himself was given a Govardhan Shila by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the moon of the sky-like heart of the devotees, personally gave his Govardhan Shila to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who describes this incident in Sri Gauranga Stava Kalpataru, verse 11 from Stavavali. So he says, Maha sampadhavada pipatita mudhrityapaya swarupe yasviye kujanamapi mamyasya muditaha puro gunja haram priyamapi cha govardhana shilam dadau me gaurango hridaya udayan madayati. So this is quoted from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit Antyalila. Although I am a fallen soul, the lowest of men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered me from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence by his mercy. Patitam udhritya kripaya. He picked me up out of his passion. Swarupeya Sviye, he handed me over in great pleasure to Swarup Damodar, his personal associate. Mam Nyasya Muditaha. In great pleasure, he handed me over to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, because there was Raghunath Das Goswami and there was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So, in order to they were called as Raghu, both of them. So in order to differentiate, so Raghunath Das Goswami was called Swarupir Raghu. Are which Raghu? Are Swarup Damodar ka Raghu. So which means he was a possession of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And then he says, the Lord also gave me the garland of small conch shells that he wore on his chest, and a stone from Govardhan Hill, although they were very dear to him. That same Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakens within my heart and makes me mad after him. Like that, this is mentioned by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and in his Gauranga Stava Kalpataru, Sri Gauranga Stava Kalpataru, from his Stavavali. So here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a Govardhan Shila is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Worshipping this Shila or harboring the attitude that I will never leave Govardhan, where Sri Raghunath Goswami resides, is also service to Govardhan. This is a very important point that he says here. What constitutes service to Govardhan? He says, Govardhan, a Govardhan Shila is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Worshipping this Shila or harboring attitude, even if we may not be able to worship the Shila, if we are harboring the attitude that I will never leave Govardhan where Sri Raghunath Das Goswami resides, is also service to Govardhan. Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. This conception of worship to Govardhan has two meanings. This conception of worship to Govardhan has two meanings. The first is that the practitioner should respect and worship a Govardhan Shila as one respects the Murti of the Lord. So one should see the Govardhan Shila as being absolutely non-different from the Murti of the Lord. And then the second meaning is to worship the Lord while residing at Sri Govardhan or any other holy places that surround the hill where the Lord performed many pastimes. Right? This conception of worship. Which conception of worship, harboring the attitude that I will never leave Govardhan where Sri Raghunath Das Goswami resides? So, this conception of worship of Govardhan has two meanings. One meaning is to respect and worship a Govardhila as one respects and worships a murti of the Lord. And the second meaning is that one worships the Lord while residing at Sri Govardhan or in any of the holy places that surround the hill where the Lord has performed pastimes. Many place it could be, you know, Radha Kund, Lalita Kund, you know, so many places are there. So one could reside at one of those places and worship the Lord. Of course, this is eventual. One should not think that one has become immediately qualified to do it. One should go, one should first properly practice Vaidhi Sadhana, purify one's heart, develop the proper greed, and then gradually one should progress. One cannot jump into, you know, one cannot say that now from tomorrow I will go and stay at Govardhan and Radha Kund and worship the Lord. You know, it's that easy actually. You know, one needs a lot of purification of heart to actually come to this session. So the practice of Vaidhi Sadhana, as recommended by our Acharya, in order to properly accomplish Anartha Nivritti, is like a person who is doing long jump, who is aspiring to, you know, do long jump. He actually goes far and as much far as possible away from the jumping line, just so that one can generate the proper momentum and steam and run really fast, develop that momentum and then come to the jumping line and take off. Then one will go and jump really far. One will cover a long distance. So one should not, but if rather one does not take that long run up, but stays close to that jumping line, and without any run up, if one just goes there directly, one not be able to generate any momentum. They will not even jump inside the pit because there will be insufficient momentum. So therefore, one should not, after reading these things, one should not think I will go and stay in Govardhan and Radha Kund. Rather, one should think, I know this is my goal. What is it? What are the prerequisites that I need to develop? A pure heart is a prerequisite. A pure heart is a prerequisite. So I need to purify my heart. So an endeavor in that direction by proper practice of Vaidhi Sadhana. So Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lavulyamcha shadvir bhaktir vinashyati utsaha nischaya adyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vritte shadvir bhaktir prasidyati tadati pratigrinnati guhyamakyati pruchyati bhungte bhojayate chaiva vidam priti lakshanam. Right? Krishneti yasya giridhanasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shishrushaya na vigya mananya manya nindadi shunya kadamek sita sangalabdhya. So like that, you know, one goes step by step by step by step by step. Practice Vaidhi Sadhana perfectly, properly. That is like taking the run up. The farther you go from the takeoff board, the the more momentum you gain when you actually take the jump, and then the longer you can cover. So one should not see that a person after hearing this, if he immediately goes and stays in Radhakund or Govardhan, it may actually be very counterproductive, because he may not have the necessary purification of heart, and one may go there and commit offenses actually. And it may sort of push them back on their progress. You know, they may regress in their devotional progress if without proper qualification. It is just like taking a long jump without the run-up. There will be no steam. No distance will be covered actually. So therefore, one should not immediately go and stay there. Rather, actually offer prayers. Krishna, please make me qualified that one day I can go and stay. Otherwise, why should even Srila Raghunath Das Goswami offer prayers such as Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatvam? Oh Govardhan, please offer me a residence near you. Please offer me a residence near you. And what do you mean offer residence near you? Govardhan is there. Just go and stay. Right? But no. Govardhan has to allow, and I need to be qualified to go and stay there. We can't just like that go and stay there. We can't barge. It is the most confidential place. Carrying our baggage of dirt and anarthas, we cannot gain entrance into Govardhan. We just get stuck up in the veil of Maya that covers the Dham actually. We will just get stuck up in the veil of Maya. Where is the question of having the Dham? So one has to actually, before going and seeing, one should pray and one should follow the limbs of devotional service, avoid the offenses. Drishtair savajanitair vapushascha dosheir na prakritattvam iha bhakta janascha pashyed gangambaso nakalu budbuda fena pankayet brahma dravattvam apagacchati neera dharmai. Learn to respect devotees. Learn not to judge devotees. Learn to respect the holy name. Learn to respect the holy places. Learn to respect anything connected with Krishna. Gurau, goshte, goshtalayishu, sujane, bhusuragane, swamantre, shri namni, vrajvayuvadvandva sharane. So learn to develop a healthy, respectful, worshipable attitude towards anything connected with Krishna. So this is all needed. Basically, this is an act of building appetite to actually become qualified to one day go and stay there. Like you have read in Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita, a lifetime in preparation actually. So prepared. So even though Prabhupada prepared, praying sufficiently, crying out for mercy, you know, praying is Bhagavatam. This was a lifetime in preparation. So to prepare to execute a task, to make ourselves qualified to actually execute our goal is more important than to try executing it without qualification actually. So at the most, at this stage, you know, we should always question our purity, our integrity, our our qualification to actually go and reside there rather than just go and reside there. So, because this is not an ordinary place. Bhauma Vrindavan is actually more glorious than Goloka Vrindavan, actually. Bhauma Vrindavan is more glorious than Goloka Vrindavan. That is why Srila Raghunath Das Goswami here says, Yadichir Avasam Brajabhuvi Saragam Pratijanur Yuvadvandvam Tachet Paricharitum Aradhabilashe. He says, Pratijanur, my dear mind, if it is your desire to come and stay in Vrindavan life after life and serve Shishi Radha and Krishna in the mood of the Brajavasis. Now the question is, why would someone want to come and stay here life after life? So life after life means if I come and serve in, if I get the opportunity to serve in Bhauma one life, then next life I should go to Goloka Vrindavan, na? Why should I take birth again next life? So the acharyas say that is because Bhauma Vrindavan is more glorious than Goloka Vrindavan. Because the highest attainment of Vrindavan is the mood of Vipralamba or the mood of separation. I mean, this is one of the reasons. There are multiple reasons. One day, if Krishna willing, we will read one purport from Sri Brihadbhagavatamrita. Beautiful purport. I think anyone who is aspiring to visit Vrindavan for a yatra should 100% read that purport before entering into Vrindavan, actually. That perfectly create or prepares our mood to enter Vrindavan. And we should enter and keep meditating on that purport as long as we stay in Vrindavan. So that we maintain the perfect attitude. Otherwise, if that attitude is not right, it is very difficult actually. So Prati Janur. So in that purport, it is very beautifully explained that how Bhauma Vrindavan is more glorious than even Goloka Vrindavan. In Bhauma Vrindavan, the highest of Vrajarasa, which is Vipralamba Bhav, is experienced in reality. In Goloka Vrindavan, actually, this Vipralamba to a large extent is imagined. It is sort of imagined. It is not real. For example, the demons coming. The demons really come in Bhauma Vrindavan, actually. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis imagine that a demon is coming. Anyways, so it describes very beautifully that particular purport, the glories of Bhauma Vrindavan. So very long purport and very beautiful purport. Maybe sometime we should read it. So here he says, residence in the holy dham, as indicated here, is synonymous with Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction of living in Mathura, Mathura Vas. So worship of Govardhan, which he is mentioning here, is actually synonymous with Mathura Vas, which Srila Rupa Goswami is mentioning as one of the five most potent limbs. So Panchamritam, as meant here by Sri Rupa Goswami, by Raghunath Das Goswami, along with Govardhan Bhajan, is you can draw parallels to the five most potent limbs that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then he says, Nitya, in accordance with the rules of devotion, Bhaja Govardhana Nitya. He says, Shri Govardhana Bhajan should be done with Nitya, along with proper rules. So he says, Niti does not indicate simply Vaidhi Marga, or the path where the impetus is scriptural logic and rules. Yatra Raga Anavaptatva Travrittir Upajayate, Shasanenaiva Shastya Sra Vaidhi Bhakti Ruchyate. So Vaidhi Bhakti is where the inspiration to engage the senses and mind in the dual activities comes from Vidhi, Shastra Vidhi. So here he says, Nitya. Nitya or Niti does not just indicate Vaidhi Marga, where the impetus is coming from scriptural logic and rules. He says, those who are eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti will worship according to those rules and regulations. But those on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti or spontaneous devotional service will worship by adopting the rules of Raga Bhakti as set forth by Srila Rupa Goswami. So here, Nitya means rules. But here, rules does not refer to the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, because here we are talking about worshipping directly Radha and Krishna in Brahman. So this is according, this indicates the rules of Raganuga Bhakti. So Raganuga Bhakti also has rules, proper practice protocols, which are discussed in which are suggested elaborately in a very generic way, suggested in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but little bit in more details, which are given in other books. Like Manasiksha gives little more details. Raghavartma Chandrika gives some details. With the external path, which we discussed long time back, Govinda Archana Smarana Paddhati gives some details like that. And lot of it is there in the form of commentaries to these books also. Are very, very valuable. And some books are written in the form of commentary also. Like, for example, Madhurya Kadambini is more like a commentary type book only, where two verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are elaborated, commented upon, like that. Okay, so this brings us to the end of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Darpan commentary. Now we are going to see the poetic summary of this commentary, which is called as Sri Manasiksha Bhasha by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami himself. Sorry, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move on to this poetic summary of his commentary? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Okay, so he says, we will read this verse and see the meaning. This is a summary of very short and sweet summary in Bengali poetry by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Vrajera ninjavane Radha Krishna Sakisane Lila Rase Nitya Thake Bhora Saidainandi Nila Bahu Bhagya Yese Vila Tahara Bhagera Badora. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, fill yourself with the delectable, intoxicating nectar of Radha Krishna's Leela with their sakis in the forest bowers of Vraja and remain drunk on it eternally. So he says, Dhayan Panchamridam Sada. Always remain drunk on it eternally. On the intoxicating nectar of Radha Krishna's Leela with their sakis. One who serves them according to their daily love is superlatively fortunate. Mana yadi chahate dhana Shri upera sangalay tara anuchari hai karatara nirdishta bhajana. Oh heart, if you want that treasure, then along with Shri Rupa's associates, become Shri Rupa's maid servant and do worship and bhaj according to Shri Rupa's specific instructions. Tara anuchari hai. So Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Seva sadhaka rupa siddha rupena chatrahi tad bhava lipsuna karya vrajaloka anusarataha. Seva sadhaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. So he says, Raganuga bhajan or Raganuga practice contains two types of practices, sadhaka rupa seva and siddha rupa seva. Sadhaka rupa seva means external practice. And Siddha Rupa Seva means internal meditation. So, the external practice of a Raganuga Sadhaka should go in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, like that. And the Siddha Rupa Seva, internal meditation, should be following in the footsteps of one of the sakis or manjaris, like Rupa Manjari or Labanga Manjari or Lalita Saki, like that. So, Tara Anrihai. Tara Anuchari Hai means one becomes Anuchari internally of Rupa Manjari and externally one becomes an Anuchara of Srila Rupa Goswami and follows exactly what they had in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami is actually Rupa Manjari, but while in Gaur Lila, Rupa Goswami did not dress like a lady and speak like a lady, dance like a lady, like that. He perfectly acted like a male body devotee, and our Goswami set the right examples as to how externally a sadhaka should practice. Sevadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. The internal service, the siddha rupa seva is meditation only, in meditation. The sadhaka rupa seva is following in the footsteps of not rupa manjari, but Rupa Goswami. Not Labanga Manjari, but Sanatan Goswami. Shri Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So their examples should be followed for our external service. So this word Tara Anuchari Hai, Kara Nirdishta, Kara Tara Nirdishta Bhajana. So Tara Nirdishta Bhajana. The bhajan, according to Srila Rupa Goswami's specific instructions, should be according to adhikar. So Rupa Goswami's nirdishta bhajan is not generic. It is very specific. So this is actually properly avoiding niyamagraha. Niyama agraha and niyama agraha. So niyama, avoiding these two aspects of niyama agraha is very important. So one kind of niyama agraha is being very eager to practice the higher stages without being qualified for it. So which means not being very careful about following one's own niyama. Niyama agraha, not accepting one's own niyama according to adhikar. And niyama agraha means being very attached only to the rules and regulations but not understanding the purpose of the whole thing. So which means we do not understand what is a negotiable detail and what is a non-negotiable principle. Okay. So Rupa Goswami's instructions, Tara Nirdishta Bhajana is according to one's Adhikar. Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta Saguna Parikirtitaha Viparyayastu Dosyad Ubhayor Esha Nishchaya. So one follows the Nirdishta Bhajan has to be according to one's Adhikar. Otherwise there is no generic. There are generic injunctions also. The 64 limbs are generic, but their practice according to Adhikar is more specific instruction, which the subsequent acharyas and the Vartaman acharyas, they have clarified according to our own Adhikar. And that's what he says. Shri Rupera Sangalai Tara Anuchari Hai Khara Tara Nirdishta Bhajan. Mana Yadi Chaha Seidana. Oh my dear mind, if you want that dhana, that wealth, Shri Rupera Sangalai, take the association of Srila Rupa Goswami, then along with Srila Rupa Goswami's associates, Tara Anuchari Hai, become a maid servant of Rupa Goswami, Kara Tara Nirdishta Bhajana, and worship and do worship and bhajan according to Srila Rupa Goswami's specific instructions according to one's Adhikar. Then he says, Hridaye ragera bhave kalo chita seva pabe sadarase rahi be maji bahire sadana deha kibaba jana geha nisangeva sadhu sangalaya. Hridaye ragera bhave, in a spontaneous pure love, kala uchita seva pabe, you will receive a service appropriate to various times of the day. So this is proper raganuga bhajan, as we discussed. Of course, we were discussing this in our Shri Chaitanya Shikshamrit yesterday. When one becomes qualified for raganuga, actually by proper practice of Vaidhi Sadhana, but the heart becomes purified, then by the sincere, offenseless chanting of the holy name, the holy name itself reveals within the heart of the practitioner his natural inclination for a particular rasa, a particular mood of service. The holy name reveals. Then one approaches his guru and gets it clarified that am I hallucinating or is this inclination, the impulse that I am getting, is it proper or am I just imagining? Then the guru evaluates the disciple, understands his qualification, sees whether he is genuine or not, and then he gives kala uchita seva. He gives for a raganuga sadhaka. Raganuga sadhaka does not get his siddha deha, his perfected form, but a bona fide guru, understanding the natural inclination of his disciple, gives him a form for practice, right? If you remember, I remember when we were young, me and my sister, we were requesting our mother, father and mother, get us a cycle. So there used to be near our house in those days, of course, in today's day and age, no one takes a cycle for rent, I think, except in probably in some villages maybe, but in cities no longer, you don't hire a cycle, cycle has become such a trivial thing. You know, people don't hire a cycle. People just purchase one and dump it off later. You know, the value of money has become, people have started earning a lot. So, you know, things are used and thrown. So there is use and throw. No one rents anything, actually. People purchase only. Especially, why would someone, in today's day and age, you tell someone, I'm going to rent a cycle. First, they will laugh at you. In those days, we used to rent a cycle. So our parents daily, before going to office, my father and mother used to give us one rupee each. Because we could rent a cycle, 1 hour, 1 rupee, you know. Later it becomes 2 rupees, 5 rupees, like that. So we could pay that money and rent a cycle and first learn. So after we learned sufficiently for 6 months, then when they became satisfied, then first my father purchased me a cycle. Then after time he purchased my sister a cycle, like that. So that cycle which I am practicing with may not be the exact same cycle my father might get me, but it can reasonably train me in driving my new cycle. So similarly, the form that the guru gives to a proper qualified raganuga sadhaka to meditate upon is not his final form. It is like a practice cycle, you can say, which can reasonably the person, but it may not be the exact form, name, exact services, etc. Those will be clarified once one reaches the stage of bhava, at which stage proper self-realization happens for that person. So here he says that hridaye ragera bhave kalo chita seva pabe sadarase rahi be majiya. In a mood of spontaneous pure love, you will receive a service appropriate to various times of the day. At different time of the day, what is my service? And sadarase rahi be majiya, and become enraptured in the mood of service. So 24 hours a day, your service will be assigned. Various services will be assigned for full day and full night. Kala uchita seva pabe. Sada rase rahibe ma. You will be in bliss. You will be blissed out serving 24 hours a day. Bahire sadhana deha karibe bhajana geha nisangeva sadhu sangaliya. Externally, in your form of a practitioner, follow your program of worship, sadhana bhajan at home, either in seclusion or in the association of saintly persons. So as we discussed, there are seva sadhaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tad bhava lipsunarya vrajaloka anusarataha. So the sadhaka rupa seva is in one's external form, following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. But the internal seva is following are the manjaris. So that is only in the form of meditation, and that is not externally done at all. That is not the recommendation. So this is where the sahajiyas make a big mistake. Even though Srila Rupa Goswami has very clearly warned sadhaka rupa seva should be external and siddha rupa seva should be internal. But because Srila Rupa Goswami does not very explicitly say that in his verse itself, he says that sadhaka rupa seva and siddha rupa seva, one should follow the vrajavasi. Vrajaloka anusarataha. So Srila Jiva Goswami explains, vrajaloka refers to the associates of Krishna in Krishna Leela, following whom one should do internally one's siddha rupa seva, and Braja, and Brajalokan Sarataha includes the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and all of them. And following after them, externally one should follow the Sadhaka Rupasam. This is not so explicitly stated by Srila Rupa Goswami himself in his verse. But this is clarified by Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentary. But the Sahajiya said Jiva Goswami by telling that, oh, why should we accept Jiva Goswami's writings? Because Jiva Goswami himself was rejected by Srila Rupa Goswami. He was kicked out of Vrindavan twice by Rupa Goswami himself. So he is, Rupa Goswami told that he was too proud to stay in Vraja. So how can we accept his commentary to be bona fide? So therefore, we will interpret Srila Rupa Goswami's, we will understand Srila Rupa Goswami's verse ourselves. And for the result is two prominent types of deviation. One type of deviation is they either externally also dressed like gopis and manjaris. So you will find a male in a sari, you know, wearing earrings, nose rings and all that, trying to walk like a lady, talk like a lady, dance like a lady. Abominable, really disgusting actually, which is totally rejected by Srila Rupa Goswami. And another type of deviation is they dress like males only, but they reject the rules. They reject the rules because they externally also follow the Vrajavasis. They say that, oh, the gopis not accept a guru, so they will not accept guru. The gopis did not follow Ekadashi, so they will also stop following Ekadashi. The gopis did not worship Shaligram, Shila, or Tulsi Maharani, so we will also not worship Shaligram, Shila, or Tulsi Maharani. So this is another kind of deviation, which is the one prominent person who introduced this kind of deviation is Shri Rupa Kaviraj, who was the disciple of Premlata Hemalata Thakurani. He was in Vrindavan during the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur eventually drove him out of Vrindavan. And eventually, Shri Rupa Kaviraj, he got leprosy and he left his body. So these kind of deviations, you know, come up if you do not understand this verse properly in line with the teachings of Srila Jiva Goswami actually. And we should accept Srila Goswami's explanations because he was the one, actually Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a combined work of Srila Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. All the essential writings of Srila Rupa Goswami were personally assisted by Srila Jiva Goswami in starting with sharpening the pencils, getting the ink ready, getting the palm leaves ready, to finding out various references for the various points that Srila Rupa Goswami was making. It was a total combined effort. Every single writing of Srila Rupa Goswami was assisted by Srila Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami was, you know, just like Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. So similarly, Srila Jiva Goswami was Sri Rupa Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. So very clearly, Srila Jiva Goswami also mentions this in his Durgama Sangamani Tika of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in that he says that this understanding should be accepted actually. Subsequently, when our Acharyas wrote Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they all wrote their subsequent commentaries in line with Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary. So, like that. So, this is the third verse. Then, fourth verse. युगल पूजन ध्यान नति श्रुति संकीर्तन पंचामृते सेवा गोवर्धाने रूप रघुनाथ पाए भक्ति विनोद चाय दृढ़ मति ए रूप भजाने। सो ही सेज परफॉर्म वर्शिप ऑफ एंड मेडिटेशन ऑफ द डिवाइन कपल युगल पूजन ध्यान ऑफर ओबेसेंसेस टू देम हियर अबाउट देम डांस इन संकीर्तन नति श्रुति संकीर्तन and bathe Shri Govardhan with these five nectars, Panchamrita. Panchamrite Seva Govardhane. Rupa Raghunatha Paye Bhakti Vinoda Chai. Bhakti Vinod longs for the lotus feet of Raghunath. Drida Mati E Rupa Bhajane. His heart is fixed unwaveringly on doing bhajan in this way, like that. So this is a summary of his prose commentary, Bengali poetry. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions on what we have seen till now? Anything anyone would like to share as that? Hari Kirtan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Please accept my blessings. Just wanted to get clarified on when we call about this Kalo Chitta Seva Pave, as we just discussed. So it refers to something like Ashtakaliya Leela, that you get the sadhak gets a service in all the times of Krishna's pastimes, or because we also hear that Nitya Seva is like one particular service that you get, you know, and that is your Nitya Seva. Like I heard one disciple of one devotee in Mayapur Dham left her body, and before that she discussed and she verified her swarup that she packs the lunch of Krishna. And she helps Mother Yashoda in the kitchen. So it seems that they have one particular service that they just happily do and they prepare for it. Or do they have different services at different times of the day? Like
there may be one service. Like say, for example, one service may have many aspects. Like say, for example, if you want to make dosa, so then there is the act of taking rice, taking urad dal, washing them, soaking them, then adding the other essential ingredients, then keeping them for some time, then grind them into batter and allowing them to ferment. Like that, I mean, this is just one act of making dosa. So like that, there are so many different things. So cooking is not just the 2 hours spent in cooking. In those days, in today's day and age, most of it we purchase in the shops. Everything is even papad and everything, you get it in shops. Mostly people, devotees purchase from shops. But in those days, even cooking means even Krishna would eat papad. I mean, papad means you have to make it. Dry it in the sun and get it ready. So even though one may have one kind of service, but there must be a lot of purvanga karmas or preparatory work needed for that service, which may keep them up throughout the day. Or even if they may not have physical service, I am sure they must be meditating on perfecting that service more and more to give maximum pleasure to Krishna. That will at least keep their minds totally occupied. So, it's not that 24 hours, they may not have many different, all different types of services. They may have one particular type of service with multiple subdivisions. Or even where physical service may not be there, they will definitely be meditating on making it sweeter and sweeter for the pleasure of Krishna. Something like that. That's what is my understanding.
Okay, thank you, Guru.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay, so let's continue. We will discuss commentary by Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj, then Srila Sachinanda Maharaj, and then I think Urmila Mataji. We have three commentaries, I think, for this particular verse. Okay, let's read. Commentary by Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj. He says, five different activities are being recommended here. In other words, every day we must drink these nectars with Srila Rupa Goswami. One must do everything in the line of Rupa Goswami as we are all Rupanugas. Again, the importance of chastity to the Sampradaya is very clearly mentioned. By these five nectars, we should be worshipping Radha and Krishna and all their friends. Tad Gana Yujoho. We should worship them by worshipping the deity form and chanting their names in Kirtan and Japa. We should meditate on them by hearing their pastimes and activities. For example, from Krishna book and Chaitanya Charitamrit. And we should bow down before them, Nati. Internally within our hearts and externally praying for their mercy and guidance. Every day one must worship Govardhan Hill to daily offer prayers to Govardhan Hill. Govardhan is very merciful, and by the mercy of Govardhan, one can gain residence in the area of Govardhan. Nija nikata nivasam dehi Govardhanam. So this is the meditation. So that's a very small commentary by Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj, very much in line with the purport and commentary written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Essentially a summary of the verse, actually. So now let's discuss the commentary of Srila Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. So, as we had already discussed, Srila Sachinandan Maharaj says, verse 11 binds the preceding verses together and brings them into context. This is a summary verse, actually. There is still a question in the air for the readers of Manas Siksha. What exactly is the method for deeply performing our devotional service? What exactly is the method for deeply performing our devotional service? He says, yes, we have heard about different concepts that can be almost the sambandha tattva of this verse. But how do we exactly do it? How is it practiced exactly? So, because the principles were mentioned in the previous verses, but how exactly it should be practiced was not very explicit. He says, this question is answered in the 11th verse. The crystal of sugar that gives success to the whole year of growing the sugar cane. Right, so they say that cane is there, processed sugarcane juice, processed sugarcane juice is molasses, processed molasses is jaggery, processed jaggery is unpolished sugar, unwhitened sugar maybe, and then it becomes whitened sugar, like that. So, tilling the field, protecting it from the thieves, harvesting, boiling the sugarcane in huge pots down to molasses, and then one piece of rock sugar is placed into it, and it all crystallizes. This verse crystallizes all the teachings because it will now tell us what we should do. What should we do? Dayan Panchamritam. He says, in simple language, if we want to have direct service to Radha and Krishna, then this is the verse for us. we need to think on how to perform these processes and what absolutely not to do, such as how should we worship the deity and what is the most important thing we should avoid when worshiping the deity. So Ijjamrita, he's talking about that. I have seen in my personal attempts to worship deities that the greatest enemy is a mechanical consciousness. Mechanical consciousness. Jiva Goswami says that Krishna is not hungry. Krishna does not need our service. It is not like this. But just like a thirsty person becomes satisfied by water alone, similarly, Krishna becomes like a thirsty person when a devotee offers him water in love. So, Krishna develops thirst when water is offered with love. Otherwise, no thirst. Krishna becomes hungry when bhoga is offered with love. Otherwise, he is not hungry. So, Krishna's urges develop when the components to pacify that urge are offered with love. When love is not there, Krishna has no urge. He says, I can drink very easily if I pour water into a glass. It is a purely mechanical activity. But Krishna is not like that. He will only drink if we offer water plus love, or if we offer a flower plus love, or if we offer incense plus love. It is the love that creates the urge in Krishna. Krishna did not go to Duryodhan's house, but he went to Vidura. Vidura and his wife were so nervous that she threw away the fruit and offered the peel. Krishna ate the peel. He missed a meal by Duryodhana, which was prepared by the best cooks in the country. In the morning, Duryodhana said, you didn't come to my house to eat. Why? Krishna said, you don't love me. I only eat love. This is the single ingredient in deity worship. We should consider this point before we begin deity worship. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami says, deity worship or archanam is not one of the most potent limbs. It is an important limb of bhakti, but it is not one of the five most potent limbs. What makes it potent is Shri Murter Angri Sevan Preeti. So, one should have preeti, great attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity form. It is the attachment. Mere service is a limb of, but when there is attachment to serving, if one loses one's night's sleep to serve the deities, that eagerness to serve, that makes it a very, very potent limb. So, like that. The next point is Akhya. Akhya means Nama Sankirtan, but it also means glorification in general. Kirtan means to sing or discuss the pastimes of the Supreme. So what we are doing now is also Kirtan in one sense. But again, merely singing the names is not enough. We must sing, plus we must do something else. He said, if we forget the plus, we won't obtain the devotional ecstasy. What is that plus? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what that plus is and tells how we should chant the holy name. He teaches that we should consider ourselves lower than the blade of grass. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana. Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadahi. This means that grass has some use to feed cows or to cover the roof of a house. I am lower than that grass and have not been of any use for service. So one of the Alvars in one of his writings, he calls himself in the same mode. He says, I am like sea water. I have absolutely no utility for anyone. So that is the mood of Trinadapi Suniche. We might say, I don't want to think like this. Many think instead that it would be so nice if I could get into a lift, press a button and go zip to pure devotion without such humility. So, I think it is Shivaram Swami Maharaj or one of them, they mentioned that in the path of pure devotion is you skip something. Oh, it is Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami Maharaj says in his Upadeshamrita commentary. He says that in devotional service, you skip something, that hole remains actually. It does not get plugged. You have to come back to plug that hole. Otherwise, that hole remains. It remains incomplete, he says. So, something as non-negotiable as humility cannot be just negotiated. Yeah, it's okay. Instead of humility, I will pay you some money. Just, you know, let me just go ahead without this humility. It's not possible, actually. Automatic. So he says, however, if not in the school of humility, we will be left with false ego and we fordo offenses. If we chant minus Trinadapi, it is dangerous. The chanting is a very potent medicine. When these powerful processes of devotional service are not used properly, can cut us. If we swing a sword forward, it cuts the enemy. If we swing it backwards, it cuts us. An overload of offenses can really make us materially attached. So, if there is no humility, it is offenses. It will kill our devotional creeper actually. Trinadapi Sunichena. Even if we may not have humility, of course, humility as a virtue will develop with anarthanavritti only. But we can wait till anarthanavritti is accomplished and we develop the virtue of humility. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadesche chete dairanavittam sthitam sattve prasidati. We cannot wait till the process of anarthanavritti is accomplished and we develop the virtue of humility. We have to act humbly, even though we may not think humbly. We may not feel that humility, but we have to act humbly as a sadhana. Because if we don't do that, it will lead to offenses. And offenses will kill our devotional life. So we don't have to necessarily feel humble to act humbly. Now, someone may ask, but isn't that dishonesty? Isn't that acting? Isn't that cheating? You are thinking something and acting something. Isn't that hypocritical behavior? Someone may say. Isn't that hypocritical behavior? No. This is not hypocritical behavior. So how is it hypocritical behavior? On one side, my anartha of pride is pushing me to act in an arrogant way. On the other side, my pure devotional faith is pushing me to act humbly. Okay. There is this tug of war between my anartha of pride and my pure devotional faith, which says act with humility, act humbly. So rather than responding to my anartha of pride and acting arrogantly, if I respond to my faith, pure devotional faith, which asks me to act humbly to protect my devotional creeper, is that hypocrisy? And if I respond to my anartha of pride and act arrogantly, is that honesty? So one should not say, hey, he is dishonest. He is not feeling respectful inside, but externally he is showing respect. Okay. So now one may have some ulterior motive. Are, I don't like this fellow, but still, you know, if I act respectfully, then later he will, I can, you know, I can get some position and power like that from that person. If thinking like that, if one externally acts respectfully and humbly, that is hypocrisy. But if one, with the sincere desire to protect one's own devotional creep, chooses to not respond to the anartha of pride and chooses to respond to the pure devotional instruction of acting humbly, that is actually responsible devotional service rather than hypocrisy. Okay. So one should not think honesty means doing whatever the heart says. But if the heart is filled with anarthas, then the heart will ask us to do things which will ruin our devotional service. So at that time, rather than listening to our anartha, we should listen to our shraddha. So acting in response to our shraddha while trying to suppress the call of our anartha is not dishonest behavior. It is actually responsible behavior. So therefore, otherwise we get consumed by our own offenses. So therefore, he says very clear that one should act humbly. That is very, very important. Be aware and avoid aparad and chant the holy name in humility. Very soon we will attain the ecstatic softness feet of Krishna. This is akya. We have seen ijja. Ijja, the main problem was mechanical. Krishna wants our love, he does not want our service. Then akya. In akya means chanting. In japa and sankirtan, the main thing is humility and avoiding offenses. Then the third is dhyana. The third amrita is dhyana. In our meditations, we should avoid speculating and imagining something or other. So dhyana has to be guided. It should be a guided meditation and not random speculation. The safest way to meditate is to read from the shastras, from the prayers of the devotees, what they have written. What they have written are not imaginations. They are revelation. Okay. So our meditation is done through hearing. Hearing from the writings of our acharyas. When we write, we might speculate. We might. Especially if we have not sufficiently tasted if we have not sufficiently tasted and bathed ourselves in the writings of our own acharyas, then our meditations, whether we write them, whether we write them or speak them, will be imaginations only. Our reflections have no value if we have not made a conscious effort to understand the content and intent of our acharyas. What is the use of those reflections? They will only misguide people. Recently, someone was asking, what is the role of intuition in our devotional practice? I said, it depends. Because basically, our intuition, it is our experience which shapes our intuition. So, what type of experience have been predominant, experiences have been predominant in a sadhaka's life, that will actually shape his intuition. So, are intuitions absolutely absurd? Not necessarily. But can everyone's intuition be trusted? Certainly not. So if we have sufficiently experienced the revelations of our acharyas, appreciated them, adored their revelations, with great joy, then for a sufficiently long time and allowed their writings to purify our heart, then our intuitions will be properly shaped. Then we can trust our intuition. Otherwise, what can I say? What is the role of our intuition? How much weightage should I give to my intuition in my spiritual practice? It depends as to how much you have allowed the words of our Guru Parampara to shape your intuitions. If you have not sufficiently allowed, then mere ability to write, we may have Chitrapadam, Nayad Vachas Chitrapad Harer Yesho Jagat Pavitram Pragrinita Karhichit Tadvayasam Tirtha Mushanti Manasa Nayatra Hamsa Niramantu Shikshayaha. So we may, it may be Chitrapadam, very ornamented with lot of alliterations and allegories and other such kind of literary ornaments. But if we have not sufficiently allowed our intuitions, our reflections to be shaped, otherwise a thoughtful personality with a good writing scheme write, it may sound very wonderful and thoughtful, but any thoughtful word need not be spiritually purifying. Any thoughtful writing need not be spiritually purifying writing. It may not be siddhantically writing also. Like that. So therefore, the safest way to meditate is to read from the sharas and from the prayers of devotees. What they have written are not imaginations, they are revelations. As Prabhupada said, my purports are my devotional ecstasies. So our meditation is done through hearing. This is so absolutely important. This experience will give us Shraddha or firm faith. It is important when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, especially those parts directly relating to Krishna, that we stop and think about what we have read. First Shravanam, then Mananam. Reflect on what has been read. So, then, if this practice is done long enough, as we chant, these things that we thought about will come up during chanting by the mercy of the holy name. We will see things that are so wonderful. Right? So this will organically come. So Nama will naturally mature into Rupa at the stage of Nishta. Nama will reveal Guna at the stage of Ruchi and Leela at the stage of Asakti. So before that, it is just, we are just trying to imagine actually. So read and after reflect on what has been read. If we want to benefit from scriptural study, we need to up three techniques from the Upanishads. We have to hear Shravanam, then we have to reflect Mananam, and then we need to meditate on the text and apply it, Nidhyasanam. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Reflecting is like chewing our food. So that is why, you know, this is very important. This reflection happens in the association of devotees only. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami says, Sri Bhagavatam is not one of the five most potent limbs. He says, Srimad Bhagavata Arthanam Aswadai Rasitaihi Saha. He says, one should deeply reflect on the deeper meanings of Bhagavatam. One should relish the deeper meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of similar devotees who have a deep taste for such reflections. So, this is very, very critical, actually. This I can say, I won't say it's my realization, but certainly it is my observation. We have been, coming together with devotees and studying the literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and other writing of our acharyas. We have been doing this for the last close to maybe 14 years. In my experience, in the association of devotees, it is many times magical, literally. You just come together with devotees and read. Just the association of devotees, reveals actually deeper meanings. You realize how, ekaki amar nahi paya bala harinama sankirtane. So alone we can't chant. Actually, in reality, alone we cannot read Bhagavatam. It's very difficult. So if we want to make our study of Srimad Bhagavatam into a very, very potent weapon to attract the mercy of Krishna, then it has to be in the association of like-minded Vaishnavas. Because their role can create magic in our study. If we read alone, the depth to which we can go is actually compromised. But when we come together with like-minded devotees and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is how, if you see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, devotees come together and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and then literally they're crying, and you know, it's such a powerful experience. So he says, if we want to go even deeper, and I believe most of us want to do that, then we should also pray to get full realization. Pray to the author, pray to the text. Pray to the author, pray to the text. So this is another aspect of Bhagavad. One aspect is association of devotees. The second aspect is Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. And then the third is Shravanam is hearing, Mananam is meditating on the deeper meaning, and Nididhyasanam is meditation on application. Okay, and the third is prayers. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami mentions, if we want to meditate about Krishna, we first have to meditate about the holy dham, because Krishna can only be found in Vrindavan. Okay. We can read about Vrindavan and remember the places, the dham. We will then be able to have a good meditation about Krishna. So, in order to meditate about Krishna, we have to meditate on the dham. So, he says, this is a very good technique. So, this is about meditation. He says, fourth is meditation on dham. So, that's why many of our acharyas, including Raghunath Das Goswami, they have written, a glorification of Keshi Tirtha, where Krishna performed this particular pastime, like that. So meditation on dham enhances our meditation on pastimes of Krishna. We should make an effort to chant lovingly, filling our minds with Krishna. We should hear with directed attention. So many people communicate, but so few people connect. This is important, right? It's so true. So many people communicate, but so few people connect. Because the people who connect are the people who care. They just don't want to dump what they know. But they care about whether you are getting the point or not. So few, and this lack of connection is called as anasanga bhajan, and this is true with our relationship with Krishna also. We try to communicate through our chanting, communicate with Krishna, but we may not connect with Krishna actually. This is called as anasanga bhajan. They are still in their mental worlds, repeating the same old external thoughts. So, we should fill our minds with the sweetness of Bhagavan. I request, dear leaders, that you make a study of these points in your life. This is such a powerful commentary. I am suggesting to myself that I want to read this again. This is such a powerful meditation. I think we should read this every day. You know, this is such a powerful meditation, actually. This will reform our approach to devotional service. In summary, When we want to do archanam, we do so with love and not technically. The second is kirtanam plus humility, because if you are not humbled, then there will be ego and then we will commit offenses. The ego does not like Krishna to take its place in the heart. There is one throne in the heart, and that at that moment the ego sits on it. Therefore, trinadapi sunichena. So first is ijya, worship of the deity. In that, the main thing is, don't do it mechanically. Second is kirtanam. It has to be with humility. The next point is dhyana. We should avoid imagination. So for that, we should follow the by hearing from bona fide sources. Satsanga means connection and anasanga means disconnected. Please take this hope. Satsanga bhajan. Our bhajan should not just communicate, but it should connect. And for connecting, it should have these elements. Beautiful. This is such a powerful commentary. We still have about 2 minutes, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 slides. Maybe I may take 1 or 2 minutes extra, but kindly bear with me. Let us complete this verse today, and next week we will complete Manachala, the last verse. So please give me permission to, maybe I may go 2-3 minutes extra. He says, here at the Shila, this is commentary by Her Grace Urmila Mataji. Here at the end of Manasiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami describes the ultimate love, intimate service to the divine couple. While every jiva has an individual eternal service, these five categories are general direction for everyone. Bhakti Vinod, in his commentary to this verse, also explains the application of these five life-giving services in terms of external devotional activities we do while in this world. These are five life-giving services. Right? As he does throughout Manasiksha, Das Goswami uses an analogy here. He tells us to drink these five services as if they were medicinal nectar to free us from death. So a drink does not literally mean we should drink. You know, this is an this is an analogy here. So drinking here, the service is thus internalized, filling us completely. And how do we drink? You know, from Srila Sachinandan Swami Maharaj's commentary, it is so beautifully presented. How do we drink these five services, Panchamrita? Comparing devotional service to a life-giving nectar and comparing the doing of such service to drinking that nectar is an often used metaphor in Vaishnava literature, as in Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 2.2.37. This is the last verse of the second chapter of second canto. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam tatamritam shravana puteshu samritam punantite vishe vidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. So here he says, pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam tatamritam. So Krishna katha is compared to amrita, a nectar, and pibanti, hearing that Krishna Katha, is compared to drinking that nectar of Krishna Katha through the ear holes, not through the hole of the mouth, like that. The section of Bhakti Vinod's commentary to verse 11, wherein he discusses Jiva Goswami's stages of meditation, is important for Bhakti Yogis at all stages of practice. So where he talks about Smaranam, Asmarana, Dharana, Dhyana, Dhruvanu Smriti, and Samadhi, five stages. The essence of bhakti is to change one's consciousness. We are to fill our mind, heart, intelligence, and ultimately our very self with awareness of Krishna. Those who aim for perfection in Dhyana Yoga try to reach Samadhi mostly through a mechanical process of posture, breathing, and so forth. The samadhi bhakti yogis, however, is different. In bhakti, one achieves full absorption of consciousness in Krishna through love. Absorption through love and not through any mechanical practice. Materially speaking, all of us have experienced situations where our consciousness becomes absorbed in someone or something because of strong emotional attachment. This happens, right? We always see this. We get attached to someone or something because of deep emotional attachment. That causes that absorption. It's not mechanical through some techniques. It is through attachment and love. We can become so saturated with meditation, we lose awareness of all else. Similarly, in bhakti, we seek to channel all our emotions, all our attachments, all our desires to Krishna, his devotees and their service. By doing so, we naturally and easily enter into transcendental awareness, awake to reality and asleep to illusion. So, in this way, we come to the end of this 11th verse. Any final comments, questions before we wind up for the day? I know I have taken a little extra time, but still, I don't want to just keep speaking and not give any time for some reflections and thoughts. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Most likely, next session will be the last session. But before you drop out, please do not drop out yet. I just wanted to inform that next week, we will most likely, Krishna willing, complete the Manasiksha, because the last verse does not have much purport, at least by the Vartaman Acharyas. So after that, I am planning to complete Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrit. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, both days, we will have Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. This is my plan as of now, rather than immediately start a new book. So 2 days a week, 4 hours. I think at that pace, we are already the fourth chapter. So maybe in a couple of months, maybe we should be able to complete Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, maybe 2 or 3 months. And then after that, henceforward, on Mondays and Tuesdays, one book. So Monday 7 to 9, Tuesday 7 to 9 will be the same book. I'm planning to start Jaivadharma. So I'm really telling you, the whole of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, if practically this Jaivadharma is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's magnum opus. All Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is so lucidly presented in the form of a story. What more can one expect? There is storyline, and at the same time, there is philosophy. I mean, this is, Srila Prabhupada, maybe next time I will share with you something that Srila Prabhupada shared with, one of his disciples about Jaivadharma. But this is what is my plan. So henceforth, after next week, most likely we will discontinue the Manasiksha WhatsApp group, and I will add those of your names which are not there in, we have another WhatsApp group. I think most of you are aware of BSD Bhakti Courses Info, in which you get the reminders, notes, YouTube links of all the courses that are happening, and in, including morning japa reminders and everything. We have japa sessions also. So slowly I'm trying to, maintain only one WhatsApp group in which I can send my reminders. So with the manasiksha getting over, we will most likely discontinue it. And for Jaiva Dharma, we will not have a separate WhatsApp group. We would send the Jaiva Dharma reminders in the BSD Bhakti courses info group only. And after Chaitanya Shikshamrit gets over, then I will discontinue that group. We don't have multiple WhatsApp group. In one WhatsApp group, we get all the reminders. So I know this will be little bit inconvenient for some devotees who may be attending just one or two courses, but kindly bear with me. It's a small inconvenience. If you can tolerate it, then we will not have to maintain too many WhatsApp groups. So thank you all very much. Unbelievable experience studying Manasiksha with you. Hopefully next week, Krishna willing, we should be able to complete Manasiksha. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Pad ki jai. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai. Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Sachinandan Swami Maharaj ki jai. Hare Grace Urmila Ji ki jai. Shri Manasiksha ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.